Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Mr. President, for inviting me to join today, and thank you for convening us all today. Today is an exciting day for our country, and I want to begin by thanking Pat Gelsinger, the CEO of Intel, and Intel for making this massive historic investment in American manufacturing right here in America. Now, from day one, President Biden has recognized and been clear that if we want to compete globally, we have to invest domestically. And he's prioritized the revitalization of our manufacturing economy and given those of us on his team a crystal clear mission to get those jobs back from overseas to America. And thanks to the president's leadership, our economy added almost 6.5 million jobs last year, the most in any year in U.S. history, and our unemployment rate dropped nearly 70%. Make no mistake about it, by any measure, the United States economy is strong. But the fact is, car prices are currently driving a third of inflation. Why? Because we don't have enough chips. Last year, automakers made nearly 8 million fewer cars than they could have because of the semiconductor chip shortage. Electric vehicles, for which the president has set an ambitious goal, 50% of new car sales by the end of the decade, require 2,000 chips. Each EV requires 2,000 chips, more than twice as many as a traditional vehicle. So that's why today's announcement from Intel is so exciting. Semiconductors produced right here in America will allow us to shore up our supply chains, bring down costs, keep manufacturing facilities up and running, and create American jobs. But if we really want to end the chip shortage and ensure our global competitiveness, there's more to do. Today, our semiconductor supply chain is far too dependent on conditions in countries halfway around the world. A COVID disruption, a typhoon, political instability in another country has the potential to again. Right now, there's a bill before Congress that would invest $52 billion in semiconductor production. Congress needs to pass that bill to revitalize America's domestic manufacturing. Passing that CHIPS funding is a win for workers, businesses, supply chains, and our economy. So again, Mr. President, thank you for your leadership, and thank you to Intel for choosing America. It's now my great pleasure to introduce Pat Gelsinger, the CEO of Intel. He's a global leader in the semiconductor industry, has been a leader in the industry for decades, and the announcement he'll be making today will create nearly 12,000 jobs in total. And it's a perfect example of what we can do if we invest in America's manufacturing industry again. So with that, I will turn it over to Pat.
Thank you, Secretary Raimondo. Thank you, President. Thank you for my best Ohio friends and the senators. And we look forward to being welcomed into Ohio. I am thrilled to be at the White House today. Such an exciting occasion, historic day for Intel and the global semiconductor industry. And for a farm boy from Pennsylvania, I thought I'd never be here. Today, Intel is announcing plans for an initial investment of more than $20 billion to build two new leading-edge fabs in Ohio. I would be remiss not to thank Governor DeWine and his team in Ohio for their fantastic partnership, and I look forward to commemorating this special day together at our event in Licking County, Ohio, later today. This will be our first new manufacturing site in 40 years. And spanning nearly 1,000 acres will be a mega fab location that can accommodate a total of 8 chip factories, or fabs as we call them. What we're announcing today is the first two, but we hope to build out that full campus. This initial investment is $20 billion, the single largest private sector investment in Ohio history, and we plan to continue to grow this presence. You know, at full build out, this site could grow to as much as $100 billion of total investment over the decade. This impact of a mega site like this is simply profound. A semiconductor factory is not like other factories. It's more like a small city supporting a vibrant community of services, suppliers, and ancillary businesses. You can think about this as a magnet for the entire tech industry. And all of this is creating new jobs. And we plan to invest an additional $100 million over the next decade to help develop and attract a pipeline of skilled talent and bolster research programs throughout the region. Intel's investments will help meet the unprecedented demand for advanced semiconductors, or chips as they are called. As every consumer in America now knows, we've seen disruptions in our supply chain globally. Many products are in back order, and you know, Christmas trees were not nearly as full this year, simply because the industry does not have enough chips. Our lives depend on them, and ponder for a moment, what portion of your life is not becoming more digital? Our dependence, the criticality of semiconductors, the brains that are powering critical industries, education, business, medicine, work from home, learn from home, care from home, infrastructure, national security, all of these depend on chips. But as Secretary Raimondo said, most semiconductors today are sourced overseas. As a country, we cannot rely solely on imports for such essential technology. And the only way to address this economic and security risk is to increase our domestic semiconductor manufacturing capacity. That's why last year I announced a historic investment to expand our operations in Arizona and Mexico. And as the company who put silicon into Silicon Valley, and the company that is now the catalyst for the Silicon Heartland, Intel is committed to restoring end-to-end leadership, innovation, and manufacturing here in the U.S. We are doing our part, but we can't do it alone. The federal government has shown strong bipartisan support for growing this strategic industry. And I'd like to thank President Biden, Secretary Raimondo, and everybody involved in supporting the semiconductor industry. And I would also like to thank Senator Schumer, Cornyn, and Representatives Matsui and McCall for sponsoring the CHIPS for America Act. But as Secretary Raimondo said, Now Congress needs to finish the job. Our announcement today is motivated by the CHIPS Act. We're putting our chips on the table, as I like to say. We are getting started, but this project will be bigger and faster with the CHIPS Act. The CHIPS Act will help address the long-term impacts of the semiconductor shortage, global supply chain challenges, and associated rising costs faced by American families today. It will also ensure America maintains its leadership role in semiconductor manufacturing and R&D. We welcome the opportunity to work with President Biden, federal and state governments, to transform the turmoil of this time into a recovery that creates world-changing technology to improve the life of every person on the planet. I thank you, and it's now my honor, my pleasure, and something a farm kid from Pennsylvania would have never imagined, that I get to introduce the President of the United States. Mr. President.
Thank you. Well, you've introduced a kid from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I didn't think it either, so it's great to be with you. Pat, thanks for the introduction, and this is a truly historic investment in America, in American workers. This group of Washington reporters have heard me say many times, it's never been a good bet to bet against America. We have the most qualified folks in the world here in the United States of America. And I want to thank Sherrod Brown and Rob Portman, two senators who deserve an enormous amount of credit for us getting to this place right now, bipartisanly. The idea that we can work together is only just beginning to dawn on people here, I think. And I want to thank Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, who from day one has been helping lead our efforts to strengthen American manufacturing in America and American innovation. Look, Pat just laid out today's big announcement by one of America's most important companies. This historic investment for Ohio, one of the largest investments in semiconductor manufacturing in American history, a brand new $20 billion campus outside of Columbus, Ohio. 7,000 construction jobs, 3,000 full-time jobs. And I was kidding Pat earlier. I said, I may need a job. And he, I said, well, it's not bad. You start over $100,000 on the lineup, but I got to get some training. But look, at the singular, look, to be able to say made in Ohio, made in America, but we used to always be able to say 25, 30 years ago, that's what this is about. But folks at home might be wondering, why is such a big deal for manufacturing something so small, the size of a postage stamp? Why is that so important? Well, semiconductors are small computer chips that power virtually everything in our lives. Your phone, your car, your refrigerator, your washing machine, hospital equipment, the internet, the electric grid, and so much more. And here's the deal. America invented these chips. America invented these chips, and federal research and development led to the creation of these chips. Taxpayer dollars. These chips helped power NASA mission to the moon. The federal investment helped bring down the cost of making chips to build a market and an entire industry. As a result, over 30 years ago, America had about 40% of global production. But since that time, something happened. American manufacturing, the backbone of our economy, got hollowed out. Companies moved jobs and production overseas, especially from in the industrial Midwest. Decades ago, we used to invest 2% of our gross domestic product in research and development. Let me say it again. We invested 2% decades ago of our gross domestic product in pure research and development. Today, it's less than 1%. We were ranked number one in the world in R&D. But guess what? We now rank number 9. China was number 8 in the world 3 decades ago. Now they're number 2. And other countries are closing in fast. As a result, today, we barely produce 10% of the computer chips despite being the leader in chip design and research. And we don't have the ability to make the most advanced chips now, right now. But today, 75% of the production takes place in East Asia. 90% of the most advanced chips are made in Taiwan. China is doing everything. it can to take over the global market so they can try to outcompete the rest of us and have a lot of applications, including military applications. Folks, look, during this pandemic, your pocketbook felt the consequences: inflation, higher prices. Whenever a factory shuts down in one part of the world, the production and shipments of goods to shops and homes and business all over the world gets disrupted. COVID-19 has compounded that problem many times over, especially with these computer chips. As a result, everything from cars to dishwashers are delayed getting to showrooms and customers, just as demand for them is up because the economy is growing. And because supply is low, we find ourselves in a position that we're really behind the curve. Prices are going up. In fact, one-third of the recent price increases that have been seen nationally are due to car prices, as mentioned earlier. You know, I'm going to turn to the boss here. What percentage of chips are needed to build the cars today, and what's going to happen in the next 5-10 years?
4% today, 20% by 2030.
20% by 2030 is going to be required to that's what the car is made of. 20% of it is going to be these computer chips. Historic as today's announcement is, we need to be this is just the beginning. And this is an important part of today's message. Right now, there's a bill in front of the United States Congress, because the two men behind me are pushing it, U.S. Innovation and Competition Act, which includes several of the ideas I proposed last year that would accelerate the progress in a big way. The bill calls for authorizing nearly $90 billion for research and development, manufacturing, and supply chain. Look, including empowering the National Science Foundation to bring together local communities, universities, community colleges, private companies, and more partnerships like this. And by the way, speaking of community colleges, you all know this, the Washington Press Corps does at least. My wife is a community college professor. She said it's the best-kept secret in America. This is a community college graduate who skipped his senior year in high school, went to local community college, and then went on. My wife's got to meet you, man. Look, this includes a $52 billion incentive for more companies to build their manufacturing facilities here in the United States of America. I want other cities and states to be able to make announcements like the one being made here today. And that's why I want to see Congress pass this bill right away and get it to my desk. Let's get another historic piece of bipartisan legislation done. Let's do it for the sake of our economic competitiveness and our national security. Let's do it for the cities and towns all across America working to get their piece of the global economic package. And let's do it for the dignity and pride of this country and the American worker. I made clear while I was running for president and from day one of this administration, we are going to invest in America. We're investing in American workers. We're going to stamp everything we can made in America, especially these computer chips. Vice President Harris and I, along with Secretary Raimondo and our entire team, have met with members of Congress in both parties because this is a bipartisan issue. We brought business and labor together to see where we could ramp up production and help resolve bottlenecks. Soon after I was sworn in, I signed an executive order to revitalize American manufacturing and making our supply chains more resilient to disruptions, whether it's a pandemic, climate change, or cyber attacks. In some cases, building resilience will mean increasing our production here at home. In others, it will mean working more closely with our trusted friends and partners, nations that share our values, so that the supply chains do not get used against us as leverage. In fact, I made this clear to President Xi of China. We need not have confrontation, but we have a stiff economic and technological competition, and we're going to insist everyone, including China, play by the same rules. We're going to invest whatever it takes in America, in American innovation, in American communities, and American workers. That's exactly what we're doing here today. As a result of the progress we've made, record economic growth, record job growth, faster economic recovery than any other nation on earth, we are better positioned globally than we have been in a long, long time. Intel's historic investment is one example. It's not the only one. In fact, last year, the largest semiconductor companies, including Samsung and Micron, committed $80 billion to build new facilities in the United States, in Arizona, New York, Oregon, Texas. And why are these companies choosing us, the United States? I think it's because they know we have the most productive workers, the best research universities, a dynamic venture capitalist system, and a rule of law that protects intellectual property. I think we're better positioned than any nation, to seize these opportunities. But we have to keep it going. And I think our best days are ahead of us. Last year, we took a big step toward that front with the bipartisan infrastructure law. And I want to thank Senator Brown and Senator Portman for their hard work in getting that done. That law is going to upgrade everything from roads, bridges, ports, airports, railway, transit, to make our economy move faster and reduce prices for families. This is going to create better jobs for millions of Americans all over the country, rural, urban, suburban. And it means America is the most attractive place for companies like Intel to invest and make their products. Because of the law, this year, for the first time in 2 decades, our infrastructure investment will grow faster than China's, for the first time in decades. This is a game changer. Now we have to build on that progress. And that's what this today is about. It includes Congress acting on our competition bill, which I mentioned earlier. And my administration is going to keep using all the tools we have to reshore our supply chains, strengthen our economic resilience, and make more in America. Because at the end of the day, this is about national security, economic security, and it's about jobs. Good-paying, decent jobs you can raise a family on. Jobs. Jobs now. Jobs for the future. Jobs in every part of the country. Jobs that show, bring the industrial Midwest back. It shows the world that we're always going to fight for American workers. In fact, these facilities are a symbol of what America is all about. PhD engineers, scientists, alongside community college graduates, as my wife says, they're the best-kept secret in America. Pat went on beyond that. But people of different ages, races, backgrounds, working side by side. They're all working together to do the same thing. The most sophisticated manufacturing we have ever seen. Tiny computer chip the size of a stamp. They're showing what I've always believed. There is nothing beyond our capacity as a nation if we do it together as the United States of America. And I want to thank Pat again and Intel. I can't wait to see this next visit that you're about to have in Ohio today. And I want to make one last comment. You know, folks, and I asked Pat this, but I've asked many other corporate leaders around this nation, when the United States of America, when the government makes a decision to invest considerable amounts of resources in a new industry or in an area that we need to build up, that encourages business to say, they're doing it. This is going to happen. I'll get in, too. I asked Pat whether that was part of the judgment. Am I misleading? Am I misstating it at all? And it is, but I just want everybody to understand I'm sure there were people who looked at both my colleagues who helped lead the fight in this CHIPS Act. We're trying to pass one. Are you going to spend all that money? That money attracts money. It attracts investment. It demonstrates we're all in. So, folks, I'm going to say what I've always said. There's not a damn thing this country can't do. Not a single thing we can't do. You've heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it again. I was talking to I spent about an hour and a half today with the Japanese Prime Minister on a virtual meeting with our staffs. And I told him about when President Xi asked me, can I define America when I was in China with him? I said, yeah, one word, possibilities. We can do anything if we put our mind to it. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. And by the way, the reason we're not going to have any time for questions now is these guys got to get quickly on a plane and go out and do a major announcement in Ohio, and you guys will ask me all about Russia and not about anything having to do with chips.
I have a question about this. If you could, how are we going to guarantee the raw materials will be available since many of them come from without the United States, including some countries like Afghanistan that are in turmoil?
We're working on that. There's a lot not in Afghanistan. There's a lot of we've been finding out and moving on directions to find where the raw materials are. We're making contracts to make sure we have access to them, and we are doing things that we're finding out here in the United States we some have assets we didn't know we had in terms of raw material.
Thank you very much.
Is it time to meet with Putin, sir?
Thank you.
Come back to tell us about Russia when you can, sir.
Last time.
Hey, yeah,
last time.